come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What?
Those are my favorite parts. The hey-o the beginning? And oh. Hey, everybody. That's my favorite part.
I'll have to listen to it again to see who it is. you know, what celebrity's doing it. What's up, everybody? We are back. We are live. We are at Tournament de Pizza. Trying something new today. We are live on the YouTube channel, which I think right now is knockout__radio, but I promise that's going to get changed.
Yeah, two underscores is crazy.
I didn't even know
double
that.
Underscores.
Two underscores is crazy.
Sounds fancy, though.
Who else is like, knockout radio?
Yeah, but nobody else is doing double underscores.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds like a CrossFit move.
And nobody else got a show like we do.
They call them double unders with the jump rope.
Let's let me give out the schedule real quickly. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, UFC back in action. Fight Night 218 in Las Vegas. Late night, though. I don't know if you guys are aware of it.
How late?
Late night. The main card goes off at 10 o'clock.
Wow. What?
Yeah. 10 o'clock their time.
Wow.
10 o'clock Pacific.
What time is that
1
here?
1 a.m.
Oh, that starts Eastern. At 1?
Starts.
Oh, so we all know that I'll be up. I don't know if you guys.
Oh, I mean,
he'll be at breakfast
Randy,
already.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you guys will be up, but
So the schedule three. Will be Devin Clark coming on at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Damon Dibble, I think I butchered his name. He is one of the slap coaches.
You need a coach for slap box?
Listen.
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't you just hear me say the coach?
Can I tell you? I have been cracking up for a week and a half about this slap boxing. Like, it's, again, however you want to talk about it and discuss it, it's been so much fun to watch. It has been so much fun to watch. People just getting knocked out.
It's brutal.
For
brutal.
Let me, five
let,
grand.
Let me finish the schedule.
Okay.
Sorry. Another UFC fighter fighting on Saturday, Kyle Nelson. Then roughly a quarter after the second hour, and again, because people listen all over the country, all over the world, you know, 1, 2, 7, you know, just quarter
Worldwide
after the second
Randy.
Hour.
Randy, let's go.
The head honcho of the Firestone Grand Prix, Kim Green, returns to the show.
Nice. It's a great event they put on. Thank
and
you.
Even though I may have an issue with, and I don't want to get controversial, I don't want to get political, it's history. Not white history, black history, Chinese history, German history, Nazi history, Catholic history. It's
history.
You don't
like black history, Randy?
I like all history.
Oh, my goodness.
I like all of them.
I'm
know.
Joking.
Is this February 1st?
But, yes.
It's Black History Month.
As a matter of fact, it is, idiot.
Go ahead. Say your offensive comment now. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to kick Matt away quickly.
Why?
Because you already got everything riled up.
I know about the calendar.
I'm going to turn him off. Just turn him off.
Right.
The Black Beast is on today. And I'm not talking about you.
No, I know. Derek Lewis.
Derek Lewis.
No, he's not. I'm going to fan out like I fanned out about.
Yeah,
yeah,
it just goes to show.
Oh, my goodness.
You're a fanboy.
Not from Houston, but I rap a lot.
I am.
Houston connection, baby.
He doesn't even know where Rapalot is, but it's okay.
It's like Sir Mix-a-Lot.
No.
don't ever say that again.
Rapalot Records.
Don't ever confuse
Derek
them
Lewis
again.
Is on? Oh, my day's made.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day.
This is the highlight of my day already.
That's the reason when I have my Mercedes, I never got a break in, and we'll tell
save
you why
it,
later.
Like the cop told me when I ID'd the guy out of the police lineup, and I said, this is the greatest day ever.
And Randy, you're a snitch.
He said,
I'm joking. You're a good citizen. I'm joking. You know I don't feel that way, but it's just funny to say.
Well, it's funny because Joe Marcourt said the same thing. Like, just real quick, because it's action-packed. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Let me just ask you a hypothetical question. Okay, you're in a brand new car that you own.
Yes.
Okay. Brand new.
Yeah.
All right. 9 months old.
Okay.
And somebody backs into it and $3,800 of damage.
Yeah.
The guy hit and runs, but you can ID him which makes his insurance responsible.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Would you ID him?
Listen, man. I'm telling.
Just say the word in a heartbeat.
I'm telling on everything. I'm a regular civilian. I do not participate in gang activity. I'm not a criminal. I'm telling on everything. Like, I've had cars be damaged. My house has been broken into and robbed. I lost $20,000 in a robbery. I'm calling the police. I need the police there. That stuff does not affect me. I'm not a criminal. So exactly. I don't, it's fun to talk about and to joke about you with, but like, no, I'm calling the police.
and that's what I told the guy.
I think we're all snitches there. I would call the police. Yeah. Get my money back.
I'm not a gang member.
You're paying my $3,800. You ain't running.
Yeah, I got tattoos, but I'm not a gang member. I'm not doing that with y'all.
Who brought up gangs and stuff? It's nothing to do with gangs.
I mean, well, I got to talk to my peoples. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, this is going to be bad.
I mean, there's a gang in Memphis, and they beat a man to death this week.
It's a gang
everywhere. And we should talk about it.
But this isn't gang related.
No, it's not. But, Randy, no, I agree 100%. I'm not. If somebody damages my property, breaks into my house, destroys my car, I'm calling the police. I need the police to be there. That's what they're there for. They get government money. I pay taxes. So their tax money is required.
I have no problems with. I did call the police for the police report. And,
I did, too.
And I had no problems picking them out of a lineup.
I'm just disappointed that they do it out of photos, out of an envelope.
It made it harder.
I was looking for like the two-way mirror. I think it'd be a process. They'd go in, see everybody, and you don't know if they can really see you or not.
They can't.
You don't know that.
You know, but I thought.
Yeah, you don't know.
I thought,
turn the light on.
Somebody might be sitting at your house right
now.
Well,
he has my address. His attorney has my address because it's on the police report. Just like I have his address. It's on the police report. I was disappointed because I thought, just like on Blue Bloods, where they give you a sheet and there's six photos.
Yeah.
That's easy. They gave me 10 manila envelopes, and you can only look at one at a time.
Okay.
And you have to pick.
So about how many photos did you go through?
10.
Oh.
It can be up to 10.
Okay.
6 minimum, 10 maximum. There were a couple that had an empty white piece of paper, but at minimum of 6, maximum of 10. You go through it one at a time, go through it, and then they let you do it again if you need to.
Okay.
And I went through the second time, trying to be honest, and it was the same one both times, and it was the best day of my life, well, almost of my life.
Listen, I would be honest, too. We're on live on YouTube. I'm going to be honest.
Live on the radio, too.
Obviously, live on the radio. But, yeah, I'll be honest, too. I don't want nobody robbing me.
Exactly.
What are we talking about?
You know what else is a robbery?
Yeah.
So I take the car to a local dealership's body shop.
Yeah.
And he says, is this with insurance or without?
Okay.
Okay. Now, again, I hadn't found them yet. We haven't done all that. So I said without. $3,800 is the quote. Then once it was insurance related, $2,100.
I thought you were going to say Tom Brady robbing us of his greatness was going to be.
Yeah, he did. He did run away today with all.
He ran away.
He took our Lombardi Trophy and took off.
Oh my goodness, I'm sad.
I wonder if he changed his number and moved out of town like you did.
I'm going to be honest with you, Randy. You know how much I love Patrick Mahomes. You know everybody does. But. It's a sad day today. Tom Brady said he's going to walk away.
It's not a sad day.
He's not going away.
He is gone.
He's gone for here.
No, he's retired.
You think he's officially done?
Yes.
Listen, I think he is too.
No, really? He is.
Because like that was a heartfelt thing. He was choking up sweats, and I've been on here. I've been very emotional on this radio show. I think he is. I hope he's not. I want him to come back, but like
he was choked up the first time.
Yeah.
You know, last year.
Uh-huh.
He said he wasn't going to get choked up, and he did get a little choked up.
He did. He had to cancel his live. He had to cut it off.
You can't ever say never. I mean, there's been a lot of people.
But people said Gronk would come back, and then he didn't.
Right. Right. So I don't think he's going to come back, but I do want to rip some people. Okay. Shocking.
Believe it or not,
we have the first two segments to ourselves. So
are you allowed back on Facebook right now?
That's yeah. Oh, no. Hold on a second. I got banned on Twitter the other night.
No.
I'm not shocked.
What'd you do?
I'm not shocked.
What'd you do to Twitter?
Something probably that deserved. But I got really,
please elaborate.
I just say the same thing I always say when things are not to my liking. Four people walked into a liquor store, and they're filming them just loading up their bag with stuff.
Okay.
Ripping off the liquor store.
Okay.
So I made a comment.
Oh, they were stealing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I made a comment. They said that goes against their violence policy, blah, 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 blah.
No, if you're stealing, you should get blamed.
I want to rip some fans. Not by name, because I don't know their name.
Okay.
I don't even know them.
You know, I love this segment. Let's rip some fans.
And I don't care. Everybody knows I say what I believe and believe what I say. All right. Yes. So this one donkey, because I don't know if I can say the J word.
No, you can't.
I don't know if you can FCC. So
yeah.
All right. Oh, I'm glad Brady's gone.
Are you
Hold
really?
On. Let me finish. This is what he says. I'm glad Brady's gone because now all those fake fans that came because of Brady are gone, and it's just us again.
Okay.
Well,
you know what?
But I saw you post like something like, are they going to remove the temporary seating at Ray J now? Get rid of like, because they don't need to sell as many tickets because nobody's going to go.
But here's my thing. Who cares why they're supporting a team? Yes, fans came because they were fans of Tom Brady.
Yes.
Just like I supported the New Orleans Saints. I know Caleb thinks I'm going to say one, Caleb, which I will. But originally when Aaron Stecker went to the New Orleans Saints,
yeah,
I could care less about the Saints. I could care less about the Bucs.
Yeah.
I could care less about most things. But I followed the Saints when Aaron Stecker went.
Okay.
I followed the New England Patriots, the Carolina Panthers, who are our arch rivals and everybody hates here in Tampa Bay.
Yes.
The Carolina Panthers, the Dallas Cowboys, the New Orleans Saints, following you.
Yes.
So if somebody's going to come support a team because of a player, what makes you a bigger fan? Because you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yet all these fans that came and spent money to follow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because of Tom Brady.
Listen, we both have a mutual friend in Alex Kappa who was a big-time free agent with the Bengals. And unfortunately, he was hurt for a second playoff run, right? And he was a big-time free agent. He's a really, really good player. And me and him talked often enough, and I told him that, like, hey, man, I love Patrick Mahomes. I love that guy. But whenever you play, I'm going to support you. So when he wasn't playing, I was like, hey, man, I'm going for the Chiefs.
I understand that.
You're not playing. So we had this conversation. I understand that whole conversation and that whole debate that you had. I get it. And
Except for, Alex Kappa didn't play last weekend.
No, he didn't. So rooting for Patrick Mahomes all the way.
But hold on a second.
Yeah.
If the Cincinnati Bengals would have won that game, A, Alex Kappa would have got a ring. And B,
the ring doesn't count.
It doesn't count. I thought that's what you guys play for. The ring.
No,
and I know that's the bad ring.
That's the awful ring. That's the ring you don't want until you're 80 years old.
Sure. But he would have had a better chance of getting the ring you want if Kansas City would have lost.
But I think it would have meant more to him if he got to play.
Oh, absolutely. I've said.
And it's unfair. It's unfair to him. And it's unfortunate for injuries and things that happen because he is he's been an integral part of the Bucs when they went to the Super Bowl and the Chiefs when they had all that wins. Because, again, Chris Jones wrecked shop.
Wrecked.
He like a beast. Wrecked he the went, whole game.
He went beast
Kappa
mode.
If Kappa's in there, it's probably a different game.
Yeah, it is a different game.
It's probably, and again, I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he is amazing. And I've spoken on this too many times. But if Kappa plays in that game, that position is different because he's that good of a player. And so I understand how all that goes, and I talked to him about that the same way I talked to my buddy Jake Brendel about the Niners and Eagles game, and I was like, hey, man, it's not your fault. Brock Purdy got injured. You're on your fourth quarterback. Yeah. Like, those things happen, but it's just fun to be right, and I was right.
Except that you said that the Bucs were going to beat the Eagles, and they would be.
I didn't. I was very wrong. I was very wrong on the Bucs and the Cowboys.
You know who else was right? You know who else was right?
I know it wasn't you.
Well, no, I was rooting for the Bengals.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't matter who I think's going to win. I would root it for the Bengals. But do you know who else was right?
Who?
The son of the head referee of the Cincinnati Bengal-Kansas City game. The son of the head referee of the game bet heavily on Kansas City.
I love this conversation.
Oh.
Okay.
Controversy is started.
Can I tell you why? Okay, go ahead.
You want me to give you my opinion, or you want to go?
No, you go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go with, I believe, the referee. He had no idea.
Okay.
And you know me, I'm naive. I don't think anybody would throw. I don't think. So I'm supporting the referee. I am. But how stupid can a human being be knowing your dad is a referee in the NFL? Right. Have somebody else do it. It's the same thing that I said about Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
You don't walk in there and put the bet down. You have one of your guys do it.
You know, I've seen a lot of this stuff over the last couple weeks over the course of my time playing sports. And people always want to say, like, oh, this sport's rigged, that sport's rigged. I was a professional athlete for 8 years.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say okay. that. I'm saying it.
Right.
I was a professional athlete for 8 years. I played in college. I played in all these games. I've gotten attacked about certain games and gambling and things like that. Nobody that I know, and I've known a lot of starting quarterbacks, and I've played in a lot of games. Nobody I know was like, hey, throw this game for this gambling thing. I worked too hard. We worked too hard to sit there and be like, throw this game. Everything that Sean Payton, we might talk about him later.
Oh, we
Sean Payton yeah. just got hired for the Broncos. I played with Sean Payton. Sean Payton never said, like, hey, guys, take this holding penalty so we can sure. get the point spread the way it's supposed to be. Like, no, that's not what we work for. We work too hard. 365 days a year, we work every single day to try and win a game. So the games aren't rigged. I know everybody wants to talk about that. Everybody wants to talk about
the officials. I'm just saying that I think it looks bad. I don't think anybody was on the take, and I didn't mean to jump in again.
No, you're good.
I just think it's bad. It's just common sense. You know, it's like the one referee reffed Clay Guida's fight but was on Clay Guida's Facebook page.
But it's common appearance. Sense to not hold. It's common sense yeah. for John Jones to not go up and down on an elbow and get disqualified. But he did get disqualified, right? You know the rules going in. Asai, God bless his soul because he's going through a lot right now, right? It's common sense to know that, like, hey, he's out of bounds. Don't push him.
Yeah.
Don't stretch the quarterback. It's 15 yards. We all know, and again, even though I disagree with the roughing the passer rules, you can't lay your body on the quarterback.
That's the rule.
So Chris Jones tackled him and dropped him down, right? They had two chances with, I think it was 7 minutes and 5 minutes to go. The Bengals had chances to go win the game.
Right, they did.
And they didn't make it happen. So to talk about officiating and be like, oh, officials ruin this game, you are, and I love a great conspiracy theory. I love it. It's fun. It's fun to think about. But people are getting crazy with it. The NFL is not rigged, guys.
Wasn't Sean Payton in trouble for the opposite of throwing the gaze? He was, like, putting bounties and, like, giving bonuses if you put people out of commission.
And,
like,
it's not bounties. Okay, so I'll ask you this. Imagine if I came in here today and I said, hey, Matt, I'll give you $5,000 if we have a great show in our ratings of this number. Would you do it?
Yeah.
Would you try to? Okay, you have a great show, right? It doesn't matter about you're trying to attack somebody or somebody else. You're going to just want to do your job better. So I don't think Sean Payton and the Saints at that point in time, even though you got charged for it, were being attacked for bounty gate or whatever it is. It's just, again, NFL's a business. Fans matter, right? Fans have a lot of say in it. They have a lot of money invested into it. And so those things happen. But, no, it was a great game.
Players try to knock other players out of the game all the time.
Right.
Yes.
For sure. I was watching ESPN, and I hate saying their name, but I was watching them earlier today.
Four-letter network.
The four-letter network. And I don't remember which player it was, and he said that they were playing against Tom Brady, and it was the undefeated almost season. And he said that he described the play, and it left him wide open, and he said his eyes looked like saucers because I'm getting ready to destroy Tom Brady.
Yes.
I am going to hit this guy so hard, he's going to wake up, and it'll be 52. So he drills him, right? Tom Brady's on the ground. He turns around, the player, the defensive player, and celebrates. And he says to his teammate, I did it. I knocked Tom Brady out of the game. And the teammate taps him on the shoulder and said, look, as Tom Brady got, you know, the guy reached down with his, you know, lifted him up. He goes, you didn't knock Tom Brady anywhere. And he said that's when he really had respect for Tom Brady, is that he got up like nothing happened. This was back in the day when you could hit quarterbacks. They always try to knock you out. But it's the same thing as what I just said about why would the Sun do it? Why would you call it a bounty instead of just go out there and play as hard as you possibly can and let's win this game?
Dude, if I'm on that Saints team, right? I play for the Saints. If I'm on that Saints team, I don't want their starting quarterback to be playing anymore. I loved when Tom Brady got picked off. I love when he's out. The whole Brock Purdy thing, I do think the Niners would have won if Brock Purdy played that game because I think they're the better team.
They had a better quarterback in the stands. They should have brought down Steve Young and suited him up.
You know, I'm not mad when that happens. It's football. You have injuries happen. That's the part of the game. Everybody gets hurt, right? And so that's what happened. And so it's like, for me, like, the whole Bounty Gate thing, it's just like, whatever. But it's just like, you have to appease fans. They're your main consumer. And so you do what you got to do.
Fanatics. Fans are called fanatics. All right, let's go hit our first break of the afternoon. When we come back, we'll head out to Las Vegas. Fight Night 218, like I said, a little bit later because it was originally supposed to be in South Korea, and it got moved to the Apex. Some contracts on the line, and Devin Clark will return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Matt Hasselbeck of the Seattle Seahawks. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, returns on March 3rd through the 5th to the streets of downtown St. Pete, with a full weekend of racing highlighted by the NTT IndyCar Series season opening race. For ticket prices and information, visit gpstpete.com or follow GP St. Pete on social media. One lucky listener will win a VIP package for two for the whole weekend.
New Year's resolutions failing? Matt McClellan here from Knockout Radio for GNAT. Want to experience Tampa's hottest, newest fitness craze? GNAT is here, Tampa Bay's only mobile vertical gym. Benefits include skeletal alignment, decompression of the joints and spine, neurological stimulation, and stretching, to name a few. Check us out at GNAT.com. Vertically conditioned, horizontally balanced.
Skunk Ape Electronics is just amazing. Get connected through music with Skunk Ape Electronics. Custom boomboxes, veteran-owned and operated, and American-made. Go to skunkapeelectronics.com and change the way you listen to music. Get 10% off your first purchase when you sign up for our newsletter. Stop by any Knockout Radio broadcast and check out what they use from Skunk Ape Electronics. Amazing. Just amazing.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Alsat from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. You brought up, you know, and you didn't throw me under the bus. You in front of it, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'm under the bus.
Royal Rumble?
Dude.
How good is Logan Paul?
Oh, he's the best.
What did I say? I'm not a Logan Paul fan or the Paul fans. Again, I am because they're supreme athletes and they're talented and they know how to get attention and eyes on them, and they do that the best of anybody currently.
Look at this idiot.
On media.
Just trying to get some electrolytes. I'm sorry.
The first time I saw him on WWE, I said, dude, he is amazing at that. And what did he do again in this Royal Rumble?
He
had the best moment of the WWE, and like, now, as a grown-up, I understand WWE is entertainment. Like, it's movies, like, it's whatever. Again, you can say it's not real, it's not whatever it is, but he made that moment amazing, and it was a great thing to see him in there, and it was amazing.
Let me say one thing when you say it's not real.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan just had a major surgery.
Yes.
That was from his wrestling, at least that's what they're saying.
No,
hundreds and thousands, I don't care, scripted, non-scripted, when you can't feel your legs, it's real.
No, 100%.
Yeah. I know
the flips they do, yeah, fans might not, right? But the flips they do, the hits they take, that stuff is real, right?
It's all real.
Obviously,
it's scripted.
A winner and other things like that, but like, the Royal Rumble was amazing. Roman Reigns and the Usos, all that stuff's amazing. Okay.
the scripted, all that kind of stuff. We talk about it. We'll talk more about Royal Rumble in a minute. Let's go out to Las Vegas as we get ready for Saturday night and a late Saturday night, Fight Night 218. Let's welcome our first guest, Devin Clark. Devin, how are you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
We're doing great. I know it's just the start, and I always ask this. It's just the start of your fight week. Are they all pretty much the same, or do you try to change things up just to make it different and new?
They all end up being a little bit different depending on what city you're in and stuff like that. Vegas is usually pretty routine. But I remember when I was out in New York and it was fight week and Conor McGregor throws a dolly through the window of the bus, you know, so you have fight weeks like that and then you have calm ones. So
let me tell you a quick story, and this is about you, not about me and Knockout Radio, but since you brought up Conor McGregor throwing the dolly,
yeah.
When they all ran up, it was at Brooklyn at the Barclays.
It was.
And they're banging on the door, and I turn and I look. I was the closest one to the door, and I turn to the door. I see them all running up, and I turned away.
It's true.
I'm like, I'm not going to let anybody in and lose my credentials for life. And then somebody else opened the door, and I tried to save it. I tried to, you know, keep everybody out of trouble that day.
Yeah, I did too. So I was waiting for a phone call, and Artem Lobov had the phone, and that's when Khabib came up and slapped him pretty good. And I tried to defuse it, and then it just, then led on to McGregor doing that and this and that.
Bigger
that
thing.
That was a wild week.
How difficult, is it difficult at all, depending on where it is, and I always say this, it's a business trip. You know, everything is about Saturday night when you get back in the octagon, but, you know, how do you determine, well, let me go for a walk down, you know, Broadway or, you know, jump on the train and go somewhere, or to stay in the hotel and just worry about Saturday night?
You know, I don't think it's too healthy to stay in your hotel and be in your own mind. It's good to have a little break from that. And, like you said, going for walks. And some people, you know, like Cowboy Cerrone, he does a bunch of crazy stuff to keep his mind off it. But I'm a little bit in between. You know, right now I'm playing a trucking game on my PlayStation. So that passes my time pretty easy. And then I also get to focus on the fight, and I got to go, you know, do more media stuff later on today. So
playing on your PlayStation is a whole lot safer than when Cowboy did backflips off of Shaquille O'Neal's house in Orlando.
Yeah, definitely. I'll take the PlayStation.
So you spoke on it a little bit earlier just now, but what is your process for, obviously, when you're training and you're in camp, it's hard-nosed and you go to work. When you get to close to game time, which is fight week for you, and you're tapering things down and you're getting to your peak, what is your process for getting ready for fight day? Like how you decompress and certain things like that? Is it video games? Like I know like the day or two before, I like to watch movies and play video games. I always bring my game with me when I travel. Background on me, I played in the NFL for 7 years. And so... But yeah, like, what's your process going through, you know, fight week?
Video games, and I usually have my dad here and the rest of my team, so it's easy to stay busy and stay in a good mindset. And then, of course, the weight cut is a huge thing. That's, your mind's on that weight cut pretty much once you get here to fight week. So that takes up a lot of time. It's just getting down to weight. And it was super weird when I fought at heavyweight a few fights ago. And I didn't have to cut weight, so I didn't have anything else to focus on. And I got these weird nerves that I usually don't get and some anxiety and stuff like that, just because I didn't have that weight cut to fill that void in my mind, you know, something to look forward to. Cause that's the first battle that you win is the weight cut. And then it's the fight. So as soon as you cut weight, you get replenished, then it's your mind's slowly on the fight.
So Devin, you know, when I first got involved with the UFC and with the radio show, one of the highlights was that the UFC was global, and it was like all over the world, and they were doing events everywhere, and this was supposed to be in Seoul, Korea. Does that factor into your fight card? Do you care where you fight, or do you enjoy traveling, or would you rather just stay close and local to Vegas?
I'm a fighter. I'm up for it. A lot of people say any place, anytime, anyone. I'm actually about that. So that's kind of how I feel about it. And getting to travel the world and getting paid to do it, that's just that's amazing. I've been all over the world with my dad and my team, and it's couldn't ask for more. I mean, it's been a super cool journey, and it's going to get even better.
When you say any place, any time, and Matt mentioned how originally this was supposed to be in South Korea, any preparation or change of preparation because of the late start time?
Not yet. Like tonight and then the next night I'll start staying up later and kind of just keying in on what time it actually is and what I'm doing and what I'm focusing on and what kind of mental space I'm in at that time, or maybe go train a little bit later. But knowing that I was going to go to South Korea, my time is going to be messed up anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
So I feel like a lot of fans don't understand how hard the weight cut is. I've had, weight limits in every professional sport. There's weight limits, right? You have to be at this certain weight or under or above or whatever it is.
I'm just going to jump in real quick. Okay. Caleb played offensive line in the NFL, and I'm surprised that offensive linemen had weight issues.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you wanted to be as big as possible.
I'm not.
Some guys are 360, and you're not allowed to be 360 because we run 100 plays a game.
Yeah.
Right? For you, like, weight cut is a big part of the MMA game and the fight game, and maybe you walk around at 170, but you have to fight at 145 and you're in advantage because you can, like, how hard is that for you, and what's that process like? Because I think people don't understand how difficult that weight cut is when you walk around at a certain weight and you have to fight at a certain weight. So, like, what's that process for you and how difficult it is to get under that weight, and how does that change as you get older and you're advancing your career?
It's one of the harder things for a lot of people. For me, it's not the worst thing about fight week. I grew up wrestling. I started wrestling when I was 7 years old. My mom, bless her, she had me in garbage bags cutting weight when I was like 10 and 11. So it's nothing new for me. You suffer through it a little bit and you get there, but it matters how you get there and how you put the weight back on is the key thing. Because just because you make weight doesn't mean you didn't wreck yourself in the process. If you go into that fight and you don't recover right and your brain is dehydrated, you can get knocked out. It's happened to me before. My first fight in the UFC, my debut, was at 185, and it was a little too much weight for me to cut, and I didn't get properly rehydrated. My body did, but my brain did not. And I got a glancing shot in the first round, and it put me down.
I'll just say one thing. I was 350 pounds in high school. Before I knew how to control my weight with my diet and my conditioning and things like that, I tried to go to wrestling, and they said the max wrestling weight is 280 pounds. And it's not an easy thing to do. Like, wrestlers and fighters and all those things, to be able to cut weight. And so, like, much respect to you guys, and, like, it's always fun hearing you guys talk about that.
My next weight cut, just so you know, Devin, is when I'm cremated.
Well, the best
that's
way
a big one.
Burn calories.
A big one.
Yeah, that's the big one. Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
He's a good fighter. He's a good fighter. Young, up and coming guy. Actually, I think we're almost the same age. But he just hasn't been in the UFC all that long. But he's he's a tough guy. He's only had one loss, so you have to take that into account. Do I think he's better than me? Not at all. And I think I'm just going to drag him around the ring for a round and then finish him.
So Devin, last night Tampa Bay had the food fight. It's where the two cities compete for title of best chef, best restaurant. So during, your fight week, what is that one food that you miss or love the most? Like, if you could pick any food.
It's never really any food in particular. It's just like right now we're at a casino, we're at the Palace, and they have a oyster bar downstairs, and something I would never want fight week. But walking by it and smelling it, I'm like, oh, I really want the oysters. obviously, I won't be able to have that after the fight, but it's just those random things, the smells, and you see different things, and you It's when you see other people enjoying it, and it just makes you want it. So it could be anything, really.
What's the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened to you or involving you in the middle of a fight?
In the middle of a fight? My teeth and my gum line got pushed back in a fight. That was interesting. and then I guess it's like, yeah, the injuries that you take, weird stuff happens. I don't know if anything else kind of beyond that has happened, but yeah, when I had my teeth pushed back, that was interesting because I got hit, took a knee there and I thought I lost my teeth. I'm like, oh, they're gone. I was trying to spit them out. Then I felt them with my tongue and they were still in there. He was still trying to beat me up and I'm holding on. I'm like, what is going on in my mouth right now? And sure enough, they just got pushed back.
Wow.
What can the fans expect Saturday night? A little later than normal. We continue to talk about that. You know, when you get back in the octagon, what can we expect?
Just excited Devin Clark, an excited Devin Clark that's ready to fight and that wants to fight and that wants to win. I've done a lot of mental work and, like I said, I'm prepared for this fight. It's one of the most prepared that I've been. And, yeah, it's gonna be fireworks one way or another.
We cannot wait. Devin, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address.
Thank you.
We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a case from Blue Smoke Salsa, some of the best salsa you've ever had. Enjoy them both, and hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. That is Devin Clark. Back in the octagon, looking forward to it.
So, Randy, I can help you cut calories.
I'm telling you.
Here's what you do. You want to learn how to cut calories fast?
No, because I don't want to be cremated.
Take a whole pizza, put in the oven, leave it overnight, and you'll burn 2,500 calories by the time you wake up.
I don't get it. I'd still eat it.
The pizza's burned.
Oh, you mean cook it that long?
You'll burn 2,500 calories by leaving it overnight.
But you don't have to tell me that. That's happened to me numerous times here.
Because I'm on the radio. I can't
Not cook. You, but some of the staff, they're like, yeah, I'll make you. What kind of pizza? You want that Iron Man? Sure. An hour later, they're like, I don't think you're going to want this.
Well, I know it wasn't me.
All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, slap fighting is taking off and taking over.
Can we start and invest in the backhand league?
And when we come back, we will speak to one of the coaches. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Dane Cook, and you are on with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, returns on March 3rd through the 5th to the streets of downtown St. Pete, with a full weekend of racing highlighted by the NTT IndyCar Series season opening race. For ticket prices and information, visit gpstpete.com or follow GP St. Pete on social media. One lucky listener will win a VIP package for two for the whole weekend.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Okay, before we go out to our next interview, we're talking about slap fighting. One of the coaches who is a local guy, Damon DeBell, will be on here momentarily. But I want to run this by you because I saw this morning as well. So Cowboy fans are livid. And it may even be Parsons. I don't remember which player it was.
Okay.
Who said to a Philadelphia Eagle, go win this for our division.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Give me your thoughts, because, you know, it would be like, and I understand fans being upset.
Yeah.
But I don't understand necessarily fans being upset at the player who wants somebody that he knows that's in the division. He thinks it looks good that the division goes on and wins the Super Bowl.
Okay, so Kayvon Thibodeau plays for the Giants, and he had a tweet that kind of went viral. I don't know if you saw it, because the Niners are losing. He said, we want to be better than the Niners because the Eagles beat us by less points, or whatever it was. So that kind of thing happens, and it makes you feel better. Fans might not feel the same way, but what you have to understand is we're athletes. The same way I ask every UFC fighter that we interview, how do you get punched in the face and go hug somebody afterwards? We're friends. At the end of the day, we're friends.
It's still got to be different, though. It's different between an offensive and a defensive lineman pushing and shoving and this and that and getting punched in the face for 15 minutes.
No, I agree with you. But when I talk to the UFC guys, they always tell me, like, hey, it's a sport. It's the same way. It's a respect thing. And so, like, it probably will make the Cowboys guy, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what the tweet or the whatever it was. I don't know how that happened. But if I beat the Cowboys, and then they beat the Eagles, and they go win the Super Bowl, I might feel better about myself because they won the Super Bowl or whatever it was or whatever, you know. So
what if it was, we'll say the Saints, you know, when you played for the Saints, and I won't even say Tampa because obviously you still have friends there, and I won't even say Carolina or Atlanta,
or because you played in all the teams.
If you were still playing for the Saints, would you root for the 49ers? Would you root for another team that's in the NFC over an AFC team?
No, I wouldn't. I just got to the point where I can root for the Bucks.
All right, let's switch gears. We were talking a little bit about the slap leg. Let's welcome to the program a local guy who will be coming out here in a couple weeks. He is one of the coaches. He's going to give us some of that coaching stuff that we've been talking about.
I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
And that's Damon DeBell. Damon, how are you? Damon, are you there?
Oh, what was that?
No, I was just asking if you were there. Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Breaking up a little bit.
Sorry about that. Everybody pushed their headsets on a little bit. Tell us a little bit about, you know, we've been talking about the slap fighting. Tell us from the coaching standpoint, what are you coaching? How are you coaching? What is it that you're coaching?
Really, it's just like form and techniques and going over like how to really deliver power while still, you know, following the rule set that were provided.
We'll talk about the rules here in a second, but are you also teaching, I guess, the opponent on how to take the slap? Or
really, there is flinching violations, so we try to train the guys to not be scared of the hit, even though it's coming either way. But there's really not much you could do about, you know, defensive, like, not flinching. It's more just offensive, not stepping, hitting accurately that we really focused on.
So when you're coaching a guy, because some guys, you have up to three windups, right, in the slap league, from what I've seen. And how do you coach them on that? Like, okay, you have enough power to do one windup. You need three windups. Like, what's your approach to guys about that? Because you can't coach anybody to take a hit. You have a chin or you don't have a chin. That's just kind of how it works. So what's your approach to guys as far as windups and how much power they have? How do you gauge those kind of things?
For that, we suggest three. That's just because that's how we were doing it when we were doing it at the old league. So we suggest three, but if they decide to go on two or on one, we'll work with them through that. But we always suggested three just because that's how we came up doing it, and that's just how we know how to do it.
Is there – I don't want either one of these two knuckleheads to slap me, so I'm backing away. Like, is there a spot, you know, that you kind of aim for when you're trying to slap?
You're really just aiming to hit him on the chin, just like with the open part of your palm, but it's really just aiming for that lower cheek side. It really depends on how big your hand is, honestly.
So in a lot of different disciplines, you know, bare knuckle boxers, for example, it's a new sport that came out 4 years ago in U.S. soil. So they found the punching sand to toughen up their knuckles was an advantage. Is there anything that guys do? I mean, with Muay Thai, they kick coconut trees and such to deaden the shins. Like, is there anything you can do to toughen up your hand or your palm to make it more impactful?
Yeah. A lot of the dudes that have been doing this for a while, we slap bricks, tires, whatever. I personally have a brick wrapped in canvas that I used to harden my hand. I'm pretty sure Darius uses a tire. And I forgot what Wolverine used. But we all use something to harden our hand.
When coaches are putting a team together, what are you looking for? And you know, how do you judge that this is somebody that can get into this discipline?
Really, it's judging on how well they could take a slap and how well they're going to take our advice. And, like, who we think has the best, like, potential for listening and following the rules. And because really in the TV show, it's teaching a whole new sport to these guys. So we want dudes that are going to really absorb the information we're trying to give to them.
So this might sound silly to a lot of people. Does a beard actually help? Because it seems like a lot of people that get knocked out have smaller beards, and people with the bigger beards don't get knocked out as much. And again, this might just be my
great
silly
observation.
This might be my silly observation, but it's something that I've noticed.
Honestly, I don't think a beard helps. A lot of the dudes that participate don't think a beard helps. Darius, who's been doing this for a long time, he's a heavyweight champion currently. Like, he doesn't have a beard, and he hasn't been knocked out. He hasn't even been knocked down, I don't think. So, I don't think it helps really at all.
I will say it's been very entertaining to watch. I was watching it when I was watching the Russians and the, you know, the Khabib's, you know, his, you know, line. We're doing it. Very, very entertaining. It's been crazy to me. And, like, I really, really enjoyed the whole rollout, everything that happened. So, dude, kudos to you. It's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed watching it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's what got me into it. I just enjoyed watching it so much. I thought it'd be fun, and I was just like, hey, let me try this out. And it's been a blast ever since.
Damon, let me ask you this. In your opinion, which is harder to coach, using the power to, you know, the full power, or trying to teach someone not to flinch, to stand there and take what's about to come?
Harder to coach would probably be the flinching, because you could coach someone on to hit properly, and that just takes a couple weeks of practice to really get down to use your power, and then it turns into tweaking it how you want. But teaching someone not to flinch when a hit is coming at you is basically teaching them to do the opposite of what their body is telling them to do. Like, that's, it feels damn near impossible. But, you know, you just got to keep working through it if you want to continue the sport.
So along those lines, the stick that they hold behind them, you know, to keep their shoulders down, is there an advantage if they squeeze and creep tension on that rod, or if it, a loosened, you know, grip is better to absorb a punch or a slap?
Honestly, it's still debated between us as well, but I personally try to eat my slaps just because that's the name of the game, really. Like, that's how I like to participate in the sport, just trying to hold out, like, not move at all. Like, I'm trying to eat the slap that's coming at me. So I would suggest the guys to tense up and try to take the slap, but if loosening up helps you absorb the slap more, whatever, and you're just trying to win, I can respect that. But that's just how I've been doing it, and that's how I try to do it.
What do you say to people who say the sport is barbaric? Because UFC, when it came out, was supposed to be barbaric, and we know how big that is. Bare knuckle was barbaric, and we know how big that's getting now. What do you say to people who judge a sport and say, people, it's not skilled, and it's people just getting knocked out, and this, that, and other? As a partner in this business, what do you say to people who have those judgments about you guys?
I'll try to keep this nice, but I really just ignore those types of people, because, like,
as you should.
If you're going to judge something for no reason like that, then it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, it's a fun sport to watch. I don't understand how it's a problem for you that it's a sport.
I'll tell you what I say.
Yeah.
And this goes back to when the UFC first kind of started, and I had this disagreement with legend boxing commentator Bert Sugar. And same with a guy at the Four Letter Network. My first thing is, have you watched it?
Yeah.
And 90% of the people that have a problem with anything have never seen it.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
until you've seen it, shut up. I don't even want to hear your comment. That's my opinion.
Randy, I agree with you.
Yeah, people 100%.
Talk about UFC. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the same logic I'm following. Like, if you haven't even watched it, like, given it a shot, then why are you bothering hating on it? That, like, you'd even watch it to give me an opinion on it.
We're only going to talk up to what's been seen. You know, we may touch just in a second about tonight's episode, but talk about, you know, what we've seen, the filming so far. What is something that's happened? And I used to ask this all the time, you know, with the Ultimate Fighter, that hasn't necessarily been on the show, but is kind of still a storyline that, you know, we should have seen. Is there anything at all?
Honestly, I can't even think of one.
Okay. All right. What should we look for, again, without giving out any details or anything like that that's on tonight? Kind of give us a little rundown of what we're about to see tonight.
They didn't give me the episode guide, but I'm pretty sure that I'm gonna get some screen time this episode. So I say look forward to that. I think training is supposed to start this episode as well, so we actually get to see some of the beginnings of our training session with the guys and stuff like that.
All right, before I let Matt ruin this and end this whole thing, I'm going to ask you a serious question. When you come out here in a couple weeks, and, you know, we're going to send the limo for you, we're going to do the whole thing. Do you want to, what do you weigh, Caleb?
300.
Do you want to slap the 380-pound guy or the 210?
Goodness gracious. Yeah, take the 380 guy.
80?
The 380 guy's a softer target.
All right, so 310 or 215, which one do you want to slap, and I'll make sure it happens?
I have to go first, though.
I got all the flour here. If you can make
it happen, it's got to be the 380. It's the bigger, the better.
That's
it. All right. The harder they fall. No, that's it. I was just, you know, I wanted to invite you to come to the restaurant when you come in town.
Already taken care of.
We'll hook it up, man.
So we're gonna do that. We're going to bring you into the restaurant. We're going to do the show live, as we always do here. We're looking forward to that. But what, Caleb?
Dude, amazing show. I had a blast watching it. I really, really did. I've been a fan of it before it got to UFC, but great show, great times. Keep going. Much respect.
Damon, I want to thank you for your time today. We'll see you in a couple weeks out here. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a case from Blue Smoke Salsa as well. And we'll talk to you again really, really soon.
All right. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Awesome.
We will talk again. The Slap League as it continues on tonight. And Damon will be out here
slap league.
In a couple of weeks. All right, let's hit the top of the hour. When we come back out to the UFC Apex, we got to calm Caleb down because the Black Beast will be on here shortly
as well.
And the
Tampa Bay Strikers debuted this past week.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, returns on March 3rd through the 5th to the streets of downtown St. Pete, with a full weekend of racing highlighted by the NTT IndyCar Series season opening race. For ticket prices and information, visit gpstpete.com or follow GP St. Pete on social media. One lucky listener will win a VIP package for two for the whole weekend.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.